Okay, Shalom. We are in Cheres Halovis Shal HaTshuva Perek Gimel. Shal HaTshuva Perek Gimel, and the Cheres Halovis here is in the middle of telling us the premises for tshuva, the what tshuva is predicated on, if we'll put it that way. So he's giving a list of seven things. The first four were A, just to briefly recap, acknowledging your guilt that you did the wrong thing. B, appreciating how bad it is. C, appreciating the retribution. And D is appreciating the fact that nothing is overlooked. It's all recorded. It's all distinctly recorded, everything, and nothing gets overlooked. Achamishi. So up till now, this is pretty much really impressing on us the severity. Now, I want to make a point. This is very important because we tend to downplay. It's more comfortable to downplay. And when it's almost like, I think you raised this point the other day, sometimes there's a feeling like having to face it too hard will just get me to a bad place in terms of being able to move forward. But let's understand, this is really a point that Chavis HaLovis is making, that it's exactly the other way around, really. By, we put ourselves into the best position for tshuva, we make our tshuva of the best quality if we are really capable of facing it head on and appreciating it, because that is mamish what brings you to the threshold of Hashem simply welcoming you back in open arms. Now, with all these things, we have to stress, it's a matter of degrees, right? It's not either yes or no. You have more of an appreciation of it, less of an appreciation of it. Let's say a person says, all right, I guess I shouldn't have done it, but it could be that it actually, like you said about a suffix, right? Suffix. It's harder to do tshuva for a suffix than for a vada, if you're not sure if you actually did the aveva. So, so what's a person supposed to do? How should he do tshuva? Right, we said that as long as you're not acknowledging your guilt, now this person really isn't sure if he did it or not. Right, take the classic case, you know, some, like the Gemara talks about suffik shuman, suffik chelev. Right, there was a piece of fat on the table. He's not sure if it was the kosher kind, the forbidden kind. And he ate it, right, and now he wants to do tshuva. He shouldn't have eaten it, right? What's he supposed to do now? He can't acknowledge his guilt because he doesn't know. It's 50-50. He says, "I'm acknowledging 50-50. I can't do more than that." It's true, right? So certainly, first of all, he can acknowledge his guilt in not having avoided the suffix, right? Right. Right. But even as far as the other part goes, I want to say that it's not like adasof. Let's say I do have certain reservations. Maybe it wasn't so bad. That doesn't disqualify the tshuva. It's just that it could be better. Tshuva, the quality of tshuva can be to many different levels. That's a point that Rabbi Yonah stresses, and it's important to realize that. Oh, they talk about the retribution. We're talking about the retribution of Olam Haba. We've never been there. I mean, not in our bodies, right? None of us really know what it is. The idea is we want to impress upon ourselves to whatever extent we can. The more we can, the higher is the quality of tshuva. But the basis of all this is that the kol tshuva timatzei slicha. That's what it starts. That's a statement of Rabbi Yonah. It starts with, you did tshuva, you earned forgiveness. But there are many levels. So that's what we're discussing here. Whatever the case is, it comes back to the point where I'm coming back to the point that let's not view the need to face the guilt as something that's going to distance me from tshuva. If you understand that, on the contrary, that is exactly what's getting you. The more you can come to Hashem and tell him what I did was wrong, the more he is going to welcome your tshuva. And therefore, don't shy away from it. We'll take another point also when it comes to avoiding it in the future. If a person says, let's say, you know, he has to face what he did was really wrong. I don't want to hear too much. I won't do it again. So I don't really want, you won't be as motivated to avoid hearing it again, to avoid doing it again. You'll try. But if you really appreciate the harm done, and don't run away from it, that will much more equip you with the means of keeping away from it next time. That's why just an example in a different area. I remember Bichir Yaakovson, he talks about the devastating effect of critical parenting. right? Now, of constantly, you know, reprimanding, when basically the most frequent form of communication that you have with your children is reprimands, etc. Now, might sound like, well, none of us are like that. We're loving parents. We're all loving parents. But sometimes without even realizing it, you can turn into that because you're dealing with the stresses of the day-to-day, right? He actually, he used to recommend, he said in the afternoon when all the kids are home, turn on a tape recorder, like record just for like an hour and a half or something. You might discover that that indeed the vast majority of interactions with the kids are these reprimands, scolding, criticisms, etc. You might be surprised to discover that. Whatever the case is, he has a very, very long discussion on the damaging effects. And then he says that, you know, this can become a little bit miyaesh, right? Start losing hope because, you know, we're not always planning it. Like, you know, we're people. We're living, you know, we have families and we're stressed. And so what are we supposed to do? So, you know, you're supposed to work on your midas. As a parent, one of the fundamental roles, functions of a parent is to be working on your midas, right? But what? So that means, like, I'm really not going to be able to be a successful parent until I perfect my midas. So I'll be ready to start at the age of 85, maybe, right? So what? So he then goes on to say how, no, there are, you work on your midas. There's no getting around that. You have to be working on your midas. But there's a lot that you can be doing with alertness to counter the effects, meaning if you are aware of the need to be providing a lot of positivity, which doesn't require you to mamash perfect your midas. It's just a matter of being of awareness, a matter of alertness. Yes, you know, I'm going to lose myself. I'm not talking about losing myself in a crazy way, but yes, you know, in the stresses of the day to day, I say things that I'd rather not be saying as regularly. Fine. And you want to be working on that. But if you can counter it with just being conscious of constantly on a regular basis, saying loving things, giving compliments, etc. So you will very much be countering the effect, right? You'll very much be countering the effect. Not only that, it'll make you more aware. It'll also make you more aware of your mode of communication. But then he makes a point. This is a fundamental point. This is really the point that we're making here, that a person might say, so why do I have to spend too much time understanding the damaging effects of that kind of communication? Let me just focus on the positive. So no, because you won't be driven enough. The more you appreciate the negative side of things, again, this is something people don't really like to focus on today, but the more you appreciate the negative side of things, the more driven you will be toward the positive. And that will make a difference in the quality of your performance afterwards. This is what we're saying with regard to tshuva. If you just say, okay, I don't want to know how bad it was. I don't want to really understand the effects. I'll do better next time. That's very nice. And you probably will do better, but you won't do as better. You won't be as driven. We want to bring ourselves to a place where we're as driven as possible. And therefore, again, as much as we don't usually like to stress this, let's be ready to face it head on for the purpose of, with the understanding, it doesn't have to be a hopeless kind of thing, the understanding that Adarabba, this is the means, this is the road to getting to a much better place, both in terms of where you stand with Hashem and in terms of your own performance. Hashem is basically telling you, I can handle your guilt. You come to me, confide in me, face it, confide in me. I can handle it. I'll handle it. I'm willing to handle it. Tell it to me, and I'll help you get onto a better track. So don't shy away from it. You don't have to be scared of it. Okay. But now we move on, and this is really the next point. Achamishi, what's premise number 5 of tshuva? And this is really what all these 4 are leading up to. This is the point. Sheyeda emes, you have to realize with full conviction, ki atshuva ofen refuas matveyu v'aderech al ha'aruka, that tshuva provides the remedy, v'aderech al ha'aruka miroya ma'aseyu ugmus mif'aloi. That is what will remedy, will get you on the track of rectifying the wrong things that you may have done. Like we said, right? Remember the story we said about the Chafetz Chaim Baruch Hu the other day, everybody? You heard that? That was a very, very fundamental story. Remember that? We saw Reb Baruch Baron, his father. Did I say that here? Say that here? Reb Baruch Baron, his father? Yeah, he said it here. Okay. Very, very, very fundamental. It's the understanding that Hashem is saying tshuva can take care of anything. Right? V'shebo yitakin to usoy. That's how you will rectify your mistakes. V'yoshiv avidosoy. And that's how you will regain whatever you've lost. Kim lo yisbaretz lo yizeh. Because if you don't have that clear, yisya'esh mekaparas haboyre yisporach u'meirachamot. You will despair of Hashem's forgiveness and of His rachmanis. Hashem cares about you. He wants you. He knows that you failed. He knows that people failed. Face it and come back. He wants to work with you. He wants to work with you. He cares about you. He loves you. Even on that side, He wants to see you back with Him. So realize that this does. It gets you to a great state, to an even better place than you were before. It can get you to, if you do it right. Otherwise, right, you'll just say, all right, I messed up. Zo, right? And you won't ask for forgiveness. You won't try to become reconciled with Hashem. Like the Pasuk says, this was a struggle of the Nevi'im in earlier times. In earlier times, the people had a very deep appreciation of what it meant to defy Hashem. And on the contrary, they had a hard time accepting the concept of tshuva. Zo, you know, we messed up with Hashem. What could be worse? Amartem leimor, right? The Navi tells them, you're saying, ki poshanu v'chataseinu aleinu, we've sinned. We are led and we are burdened by our sins. Uvamanu nachnu nimakim, we are going to perish with them. Eich nichya, how can we live? How can we be revived? V'yisra tshuva al zeme aboyre al yedei nevi'a. And Hashem tells, comes and he exhorts, he so to speak, pleads with the people to believe that. Chai anin hum Hashem leikim. He says, k'viyokal Hashem is swearing that, im ech baitz b'voiz ha-Rasha, I am not interested in seeing the Russia perish. I want, kim b'shuvay midochav v'choya, I want to see him make it up and live, gain a new lease on life. And not just that Hashem is there. Shuvu shuvu banim shayvavim. Hashem is saying, I want to aid the process. I'm there to make it happen. It's not just that Hashem says, well, if you beg me for forgiveness, maybe I'll acquiesce. Hashem is extending His hand. Hey, take my hand. I'm going to pull you up. So that's point number five, to appreciate the power of tshuva. Ashishi. What's number six? You have to really appreciate, it's not just that you did something wrong because there's this religious system in place and you're not allowed to do this and you aren't allowed to do this and you failed the system. You have to really contemplate all of the chesed that you got from Hashem. Kind of like, almost say it, to view the tshuva as a moral obligation, as a ben adam l'chaveroi, so to speak. Obligation. It's a matter of being a mensch. It's a matter of decency. Think of all the good that Hashem did for you. And how instead of thanking and showing gratitude, we have defied Hashem. You want to really appreciate the moral obligation. You want to really feel the indebtedness driving you toward tshuva. How could I do this to someone who's so good to me? And another thing he says, you want to be contemplating the matter. The famous statement of Chazal. You want to be thinking of whatever you might have gained from an Avera. Whatever pleasure you might have gained. Whatever relief you might have gained from an Avera. But then, think about what you're going to have to pay for it in the next world. Also, when you think about the difficulty in doing a mitzvah, but think about what it earns you in the next world. Like Chazal said, to be sitting down and really contemplating what are the gains of a mitzvah versus the losses. And the same for an Avera. this is something that really deserves more elaboration. Okay, we'll wait. We'll wait with this for Sunday, Emet Hashem. We'll stop here. A guten Shabbos.